Well, once again, good morning. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap of praise, if you would. Let's get into the Word of God today. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Ephesians. We have been doing a series. Oh, while you're doing that, let's do the wristbands. How many people would like to have a Tag by God wristbands? We're going to tag you today if you don't have one because you gave it away or your guest gave it away. Go ahead and hand those out if you would. This is something we did from last series, actually. You are tagged by God. Say, I'm tagged by God. I want to thank you for those of you who checked in. I just saw my iPad. It came up. Gail Edwards is at Hope Church. Thank you, Gail, for checking in. That was kind of cool. I was like, whoa. We encourage you to wear those just to remind yourself that you're important to God, that He's with you. You're not alone. He's tagged you with His presence. Also, to keep in mind the opportunity that if God creates the opportunity in the rhythm of your week, whatever it may turn out, that you find yourself in a conversation with somebody the Lord places on your heart to tag them, just give them this little wristband, which means it's amazing how people are so receptive to it. And you say, hey, listen, I just want to tag you. Give them the wristband, and it could be at minimum, they just say thank you, and most of them are very excited about it, and God can use it down the road. Or it might be an opportunity to invite them to church or talk about the Lord and share your faith. But at minimum, it opens up that opportunity, and you just let God direct you and show you what to do. But it is a cool deal. So we found that to really work well. I think at this point, we have given out a little or maybe a little over 4,000 wristbands. Have been, amen. And they've gone in. People have given them to others outside the state. We've had public schools. The teenagers are all wanting them. And so it's amazing how even in public school, you can't talk about Jesus. But if they're asking for a wristband, isn't that cool? So you never know what God will do, what idea that He'll take and say, all right, I'm going to use this to reach people with it. So you can be a part of that process. We've been doing a series called Armor of God. Have you enjoyed that? Yeah. This is actually, I think, our eighth message on it. Today's the last one of this series. Next month or next week, we're going to start with a whole other series I'm very excited about. And we need to be able to run in the rhythm of life with our tank full and not running on fumes. So we're going to be talking about that next week. But we're finishing up on this Armor of God series. And we see in Ephesians, it's been our key text about the armor of God. And God would not ask you as a child of God to put on armor unless there would be a battle. We have to get past the religious mindset. Now, if you're a guest with this, I don't mean to offend you, but I'm personally not into religion. I define that as man's rules to get to God. It will not happen. The unfortunate reality is that the religious in the church world have unfortunately done a lot of damage to the body of Christ in the church world. Excuse me. In fact, there's a lot of people that are on the roadside of life that used to go to church, used to know the Lord, and walk with God, who no longer do because of somebody who might have been sincere, but were sincerely wrong and hurt them or offended them or did something destructive. So I'm not into the religious side of stuff. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. I just simply believe that if God is real and He is, and if He can do anything and He can, then He can make Himself real to you in a way that you know for yourself in the way you understand, process, and think that He is real and He's your personal Lord and Savior. And so we have to get past the religious mindset that would tell us that if we run into challenges, it's always because there must be sin in our life. Because in the church world, historically, if somebody ever went through a hard time, everybody started not praying, but gabbing and talking. I wonder what they did. And some challenges that we deal with are our fault. We need to be mature enough as individuals to say, you know what? I brought that upon myself. You can't blame the devil for everything. The devil's just took my job. No, your boss fired you because you showed up late 10 days in a row and now you got fired. Just don't blame the devil. He wasn't even around. Hello? You just cussed your boss out and you got fired. What do you call me? What? All right? And so it's not, sometimes there's things that we do that creates the storm. Sometimes there's just storms that happen. Sometimes it's a challenge of the devil. Jesus said, in this life, you're going to deal with trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. The only reason you could be excited or happy about Jesus' victory and your challenge is the fact that there is an unseen connection between His power of victory and your current challenge. Yes. Yes. And so in life, we will deal with trials and tribulations. We'll deal with challenges. Sometimes it's our fault. Sometimes it's the devil trying to attack us. Sometimes it's, we don't know where. It's just the rhythm of life. But either way, you can win. You have the potential, the design by your Heavenly Father for you to be victorious in every battle. So even if you made the mistake and caused the problem, you can stand up quickly, brush the dust off, repent if you need to repent, make amends if you need to make amends, and move forward. Come on, somebody. It doesn't mean that tomorrow will look just like it did yesterday, but you don't have to live sulking in the mistakes of your past. You do not have to, like a pig will wallow. You don't have to wallow in the mire of your defeats. Did you hear me? You can stand up. You can stand up. See, I can stand up and move on. I don't know who I'm talking to. You can stand up, move on. You can have defeat, destruction, say, oh, God, I brought this on myself. Well, then repent. Now let's stand up. Are you a child of God? Absolutely. You going to heaven? Absolutely. Well, as a child of God, you have a right to be and to have and to do all that he wants you to be, to have, and to do. So let's move forward. For whatever reason, I'm reminded of a story many years ago. Lester Sumrall. Back in the day, great ministry and minister, and he got a call from his office. He was an evangelist, and they said, the office is just in the middle of the night caught on fire. And he said, how bad's the damage? And they said, everything's burnt to the ground. He said, okay. They said, are you going to come and see it? He goes, no. He said, what do you mean? Don't you want to come and see the damage? He said, no. So why should I stare at the ashes? Let's begin to build. Start building. Start building. Some of you need to start building. Start building. Start building. Start building. Start building. You don't need to stare and cry at the ashes. Just start building. It'll never be like, nobody can be better. It might be different, but it can be better. So I'm going to start building. I'm going to stand up. See, it's within the potential and the design and the desire of your Heavenly Father for you to be successful and victorious in every area of your life according to the principles and the boundaries of the covenant of God's word that was purchased by the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. That entails for you not only for your sins to be forgiven and you to go to heaven, but it includes your finances for you to be blessed. It includes your physical body for you to be healed. It includes the peace of mind. It includes your rest. It includes your emotions. It includes every facet of who you are. And yet, now don't feel bad, you might not win every battle. It's your potential. It's your possibility. It's the desire of your Father for you to win. But you might not win every one. Do you want to know why? Because you're human. You're human. Let's get real. Too many times in the church world, we don't want to deal with, I don't know it all, and so we'll just act like we know it all, and we'll redefine and reinterpret the Bible and redefine God that, oh, God doesn't do that anymore. God didn't heal because he doesn't heal anymore. He just did it in the Bible days. No, he still heals. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as last I looked, we're still in the church phase. Acts is the beginning of the church. We're still in the church age. Did you hear me? And so many times in the church world, they'll redefine and reinterpret the Bible. Oh, God doesn't heal. God doesn't bless. Yeah, he does. Oh, God doesn't deliver anymore. Yeah, he does. God doesn't really demonstrate his power. Yes, he does. God doesn't speak to people. Yes, he does. Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice, and a voice of another they will not follow. He still does. He's still in the business. And what we have to be willing to do when we're not winning a fight or when we lost a battle is to say, wait a minute, I should have won this. God's designed for me to win this. God wants me to win this. Oh, wait, let me stop there. Did you hear me? Your Heavenly Father wants you to win. Let me say that again. Your Heavenly Father wants, he's not sitting up in heaven hoping you fail. See, religion will teach you that. God's just waiting for you to fail so he can judge you. No, your Heavenly Father wants you to win. In fact, the Bible says that if he would give his son, what in the world would he withhold from you? He wants you to win. Why would he tell you to put on armor if he didn't want you to win? Why would he give you the keys of the kingdom if he didn't want you to win? Your Father wants you to win. And when we don't win, let's be mature enough to say, okay, God, there must be something I need to learn. I need to grow in something. Because I evidently, God, you don't change, so it's not you. It must be me. Say, it must be me. And you have to realize that's okay. That is a rhythm of life. That is a part of life. Because we will all be operating in an area of faith somewhere in our life. Because if you got, if you reached the epitome of where God wanted you in every area of your life and you achieved the assignment and completed it, in my opinion, that's your time to go to eternity. You've done what you've been called to do. But as long as you can pinch yourself and feel it, as long as you wake up with bad breath, we all have areas in our lives that we need to continue to grow, continue to develop, and you can be strong in one area and challenged in another. Don't feel bad about that. Don't be discouraged and say, oh, when is this? No, 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 no. That's a rhythm of life of walking by faith. You're called to walk by faith. Yes. If you had it all, you wouldn't, the Bible says, if you had it, you wouldn't need faith for it. Yes. You don't need faith for that chair that you're sitting on. You have it. See, faith is bringing what God has for you in his dimension into your life, in your dimension, so that you can enjoy it, experience, and others can see it and experience it. And so if it was a matter of you just reaching everything, and you have everything, see, the danger in the church world is, and that's where I'm not really into titles, because there is a subconscious thing that happens to people with titles. Because once you reach a title, there's a mental thing of, I've arrived. Once you arrive, you rest. Once you rest, you stop growing. And when you stop growing, you don't stay stagnant. You start moving and diminish. See, we should all keep growing. You say, well, I haven't reached that yet. Praise God. There's areas we're all growing in. And if you reach it all, you wouldn't need faith. If you don't need faith, then you can't please God. Because the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please. So I say, I'm growing. Come on, stick with me. Say, I'm growing. I don't know everything. Come on, guys. Sometimes it's hard for us to say that. Come on, men. Say, I don't know everything. Sometimes, like, we act like we know everything. We'll make a decision like we know everything, but that doesn't mean we know everything. It's okay to say, all right, I might be missing something. And so God has given us seven principles, seven truths, for us in the day of battle so that we can win, so that you can be victorious. It doesn't mean that it will give you a get out of the battle free card. It means that in the battle, you can be successful. And that's important because to those who win a battle, they get the reward, the plunder. So there's actually advancement. What the devil meant for evil, God can turn for good. You mean it's like a tree. If a tree says, you know what, I don't want to deal with the storms and the winds of life, I just want to grow tall. Well, do you know what happens if a tree grows super tall and has never faced the winds of life? They're going to tip over. You need to have roots to create stability. See, you got to be growing inside as well as outside so that when you come up against stronger storms, you're not thrown off guard. You're not freaking out. You're not crying. You're not running in the fetal position in the corner saying, why me? No, you rise up and say, wait a minute. A year ago, that would have taken me out. Today, that mountain is a molehill. Today, this storm is going to pass. Today, God, I'm going to have victory in this area. Today, that, you know, a year ago, that look would probably emotionally mess me up. Today, I'm not moved. A year ago, a person being rude to me like that would have got me into a rage. Today, I'm strong in the Lord. A year ago, I might have been disappointed and been all busted and disgusted and yelling and kicking the cat and just screaming at people. Today, I have peace. Woo. I'm telling you, if you grasp the truths that we have been teaching in this series, if you can grasp these revelations and apply them, you will so frustrate the enemy of your life, because when he's throwing everything and the kitchen sink at you and you still stand strong and say, no big deal, I'm going forward, I'm not giving up, I'm not stopping, I'm climbing that mountain, I'm moving ahead, I'm going to the next level, I'm going to see my family saved, I'm going to see my body healed, I'm going to be blessed, you can't stop me, you can't stop me. I'm telling you, what a great life. Devil throws something at you and you're like, that's all you got? You're not discouraging me, I'm not giving up, I'm not letting go. It's like that Rocky movie. Come on, one more round. You're like, you've got to be kidding. And I'm not telling you that God wants you to be a victim and to get your head knocked in. But I'm telling you, he wants you to be a victor, to be strong in the battle. So that when battles come, you're not running from them. You'll be like David, who saw that giant and say, what do I get if I take this guy down? I got 20 minutes before I got to be back to work. Come on, somebody, you got to use your imagination sometimes. God wants you to be successful, victorious in battle. And he's given you principles, truths. We found out in the very first, when a quick review, we found out in the very first message that the way in John 10:10, Jesus said that the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. He only comes to steal when you have something. So the very fact he's attacking you, you ought to rejoice. He's got something he's trying to get. He's got something he's trying to get, but you're not going to let him have it. How do you let him have it? We found in Scripture, get this message on CD because we don't have time today, but we found in Scripture out of the Bible that when you give up, when you let go, when you quit trusting in your armor, when you quit trusting in these principles of your armor, the devil has access to take what rightfully belongs to you. But if you don't give up, if you don't let go, if you keep hanging on, if you keep trusting those truths, what are those truths we see out of Ephesians? He can't steal from you. Notice Ephesians 6, if you have your Bibles. Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We talked about being strong is not based on how you feel, how it looks, because the devil will never attack you when you feel strong. Spiritually, physically, emotionally, any area, he attacks you at your weak moments. Come on now. If you wait for the devil to attack you when you have a Holy Ghost goosebump, he's not going to mess with you when you got a Holy Ghost goosebump. He's not going to mess with you when you're all prayed up and you got everything's going your way. He's not going to mess with you when everything's perfect. He's going to wait till you get weak in an area, maybe physically tired, maybe emotionally drained, maybe spiritually empty. But it didn't say be strong, feel strong. He said be strong. And that's based on position of who you are in Christ. See, your authority gives you strength, not your emotion. Your emotion might make you loud. It might bring a lot of energy. But emotion doesn't bring power. Authority and position does. So he didn't say feel strong. He said be strong. Say be strong. Notice, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. That's important to realize that you have to hang on to all these principles because the devil's strategy is to attack the weak link. He doesn't attack the strength or the strong area. He attacks the area that we have allowed to be unprotected. That's why I believe James has counted all joy when you fall in diverse temptation, because all of a sudden the devil's attack or devil's temptation, because God does not tempt you, because James says that God is not tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man with evil. We're tempted when we're drawn away of our own lust or desires. But when the devil tempts us, it actually shows us an area of our armor that's weak. You say, wait a minute, why am I being tempted? And now you know how to handle it. So we have to put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, which tells us our enemy is not our neighbor. Our enemy is not our boss or that yelled us. Our enemy is not that employee that's not doing their job. Our enemy is not the friend that stabbed us in the back. Our enemy is the devil. As long as you spend all your emotional and mental and physical energy going after people, you lose your energy and ability and authority to go after the devil. I'm trying. Thank you. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you will be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Say truth. Truth will help you eliminate deception. The power of deception is that you do not realize you're deceived. And without truth, even the smallest deception can take you down. Yes. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Say righteousness. Righteousness. That's right standing with God. Yes. Got to keep your heart right, protected. Yes. Not an emotion, it's position. Say, I'm the righteousness of God. In Christ Jesus. It's because of the blood of Jesus that you're righteous, not because of your works. See, religion will tell you you're righteous because of what you've done. God's Bible says you're righteous because of what he has done. Come on, somebody. Righteousness is based on your position, your relationship with God, based on you accepting the blood of Jesus. It doesn't mean you can live any way you want. No, you pull yourself out of God's relationship. You'll pull yourself out of God's protection and blessing. But righteousness is right standing with God because of the blood of Jesus. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Say peace.
Peace.
Above all, taking the shield of faith where you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You got to be able to lift up your faith. Yeah. And take the helmet of salvation. We've talked about that, the area of thought life. Just like Goliath thought that little rock was going to do no damage. It's amazing how a little thought, if you're not protected correctly, can create a lot of problems for you. Because every action started with a thought. It's like a path. It's like a road. If you've gone on a highway and you're going west, you might say you're going east. You might pray that God will take you east. You might confess that you're going east. You might call everybody and say, pray for me, I'm going east. But as long as you're on the highway going west, where are you going?
West.
You know, we laugh at that, but the reality is that people will live a rhythm and pray that they don't have the results of the rhythm, the direction they're going. They'll pray that they don't have, you know what I mean, they'll be sowing the wrong thing, but they'll pray that they won't reap it. They'll ask people to pray for them that they won't reap it. But if you're on the path of where it's taking you, you might pray for a great marriage. You might pray ask people to pray for your marriage. But if you're still mean to your spouse, you're on the wrong path. Right? So faith that works is dead. You have to be, so if you're on the wrong path, it's not a matter of trying to get God to change the path. It's a matter of you getting on the right path and do what God's word says. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We talked last week that word is actually rhema, that the Bible you have is the logos word of God. And as you read it, pray it, meditate on it, memorize it, whatever it might be, listen to it, the Holy Spirit has the opportunity to reveal it to your heart, to your spirit. And when he takes that logos and reveals it, he makes it a rhema. It becomes alive, it becomes real, it becomes personal, it becomes just for you where you're at. God's instruction and direction for you and your journey of life. The mistake that happens in the church world is we try to copy other people's rhema. That's like copying someone else's direction. And the only time it'll work is if you're right at the same place as the person going to the same place they're going. If somebody, I like to say it this way, if somebody's on the East Coast and somebody's on the West Coast and they both are following the same directions to go to St. Louis, one of them's going to be wet. Because you have to know your journey, your direction out of the Word of God and the revelation, what is God telling you to do? He might tell somebody to do something that's right next to you. He might not have told you to do it. You have to obey the rhema, the rhema of God. And what happens is that we have a tendency of trying to take that sword. For some, they don't even pull it out. You got to bring the sword out. You got to begin to say what God is saying. Did you hear me? You have to say what God is saying. Because it's agreeing with God for you. What is God saying about you? That's what is eternal. And when the Holy Spirit takes a word and makes it a rhema, it's alive in your spirit. When the enemy attacks, what should come out of your mouth is not what you see. It's not what you hear. It's not what you feel. It's not what the circumstances are saying. It's not what you remember. Because if you have to remember what to say, it's still in this faculty of your brain and your memory. What you want to do is be able to speak with authority and power and anointing. And that comes when the Holy Spirit reminds you. For Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will remind you of everything that I have said. So all of a sudden, in the moment of attack, you can bring out the sword, the rhema, because the Holy Spirit comes out of the deep parts of who you are. And out of your spirit comes the revelation of the Word of God that you have a rhema on. And you begin to say it with authority. That's the sword of the Spirit. For Jesus said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Holy Ghost. You say, that's the Holy Spirit. Look, it says that the sword of the Spirit, another translation says that the sword that the Holy Spirit uses. So all of a sudden, when the enemy attacks you, if you have to say, where's that scripture again? It's not a rhema. All you can do is try to teach. All you do is try to just spout off. But when the enemy attacks, if you allow the Holy Spirit to take the rhema because you've been spending time in the Word of God and you have saturated your mind and heart with the Word of God, and all of a sudden now that word's become rhema, just because you read it doesn't mean you're going to get a rhema, but if you don't read it, you won't get a rhema. Can I get an amen? But when you get a rhema in your spirit, out of your spirit will come that Word of God, because even when the devil attacked Jesus, he would say, "It is written." What was he doing? He was saying what God was saying, but just not what he knew by the faculties of his memory, what he had memorized, but what was alive in his spirit. That's the sword of the spirit. Some of us in the church world have said, "Oh, that don't work." Well, isn't that a lie of the devil? Isn't that a good trick of the devil? The only offensive weapon you've got in your arsenal, he tells you and convinced you that it doesn't work, so you don't do it. Well, that's pretty safe for him, isn't it? Ah, but when you realize who you are, that you're just not a person, an individual on this earth roaming through the rhythms of life, but you are a son and daughter of the Most High God, to be like in the image of God, given the authority, you just don't operate the way the world operates. You operate with a different level because you aren't just living in this world. You are not of this world. You are part of the kingdom of God. And when God says something, his word will not fail. That's why the things of God don't make sense to the natural mind, because it doesn't make sense. Why? When you begin to say what God's saying, there's power released. That's why the centurion soldier told Jesus, just speak the word only. You don't even have to be there, Jesus. All you have to do is speak the word only. And Jesus said, "I have not found such great faith, no, not in Israel." Why? Because this man understood authority based, and once the word had come, because what was he saying? Jesus, I recognize you as the final. I recognize you as the final authority in this situation. I know what the doctor's saying. I know what my friends are saying. I know what I'm seeing. But Jesus, I recognize you as the final authority in this matter. So when you get the word from the highest authority, anybody under that authority that would say different, you can say, "But wait a minute. Come on, somebody." At work, you've gone to do something, and one of your bosses say, "Don't do that." You say, "But wait a minute. Your boss told me to do it." Yes. Right? Yes. You're not trying to be disrespectful, but you're letting them know that there's someone of a greater authority that already said to do it. So even when they say you can do it, when somebody else higher says you can do it, the person that's higher has... So when you recognize God and his word as the final authority, when the devil says you can't, you won't, it'll never happen, when you say, "Wait a minute, you're saying that, I understand it, but I want you to know, there's a higher authority that says I can, I will." Woo, thank you, Jesus. Say, "Thank you, Jesus." See, the problem is sometimes even as Christians, we don't walk necessarily as believers. And we'll see what God is saying. We'll hear what God is saying, I should say. We'll understand what God is saying, but we don't recognize him as the final authority. So we'll say, "Oh, I know what your word says, Jesus, but the doctor's saying." And you know what? He's probably right. He just might be then. All right. I've done run out of my time, and we're just reviewing this. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now that's, you're like, we've been talking about seven principles. That's six. That's only six. Where's the seventh? I like to include, some don't, but I like to include this next one. Because if you believe in seven, seven's a good number. Yeah, I like that seven. Seven's a good number. Number of God. That's why at Hope Church our number is 869-777. That should be assigned to you. We're having fun with that, so lighten up. Seven. Here's the seventh one. All right? This is part of the armor. I'll say it this way. In my opinion, you can take it or leave it. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And once you see something, the seventh principle of your armor is prayer. Now we can look at this, and in the King's English it says praying always. And that would almost seem impossible. And then we begin to say, Lord, that's not practical. I have a job to do. Absolutely. Some people have said, well, that means praying always, 24/7. Some people say, oh, that means staying in an attitude of prayer. But let me tell you something. If it meant praying 24/7 and you missed 1 minute, then you'd be in sin. Because the Bible tells me, to him that knows to do good and doesn't, to him it is a sin. I don't believe that that's what it's saying here. Because nobody that I know of, unless you're, well, maybe there is a few people, I don't know. 24 hours, 7 days a week, do nothing but pray. Don't sleep, pray. Don't eat, pray. What is it saying here? If you look at the original text, and we have to keep in mind, prayer is more than just asking God. Prayer is communicating with your Father. So that's why it says praying always with all prayer. There's a lot of different prayers. See, there's a lot of different prayers. Or a lot of different types of prayers. But praying always, you could say it this way, praying in every season. I want to bring out two of the original texts, what it means. Praying in every season. Say every season.
Every season.
This is important to realize, because some people only pray in the hard season. See, if you're going through a hard season, one of the things will help you is to realize it's a season. You will make it through this. Did you hear me? Now, I want you to understand, even in the practical side, those seasons change. Just like the disciples in the boat, the storm came. That storm would eventually quit. But bless God and thank him for his word, because he shows us by instruction and by example that he has a way of shortening the season and bringing our future solution of tomorrow into our todays. Amen. Yeah. Jesus is able to deal with the storm today. But regardless, it is a season. A lot of people only pray when they're in a bad season. Some people only read the Bible when they're in a hard season. Some people only go to church when they're in a hard season. I got to get to church this week because it's been a rough week. I guess, praise God that you at least come to church. But I'm here to tell you, that how do you pray in every season? That means when it's a bad season, I'm going to pray. When it's a good season, I'm going to pray. When it's a great season, I'm going to pray. When I'm in the valley season, I'm going to pray. When I'm on the top of the mountain season, I need to pray. Because when you start living the life of, I only pray at the valley and never at the top, you know what happens? When you get to the top, you're like, I'll talk to you later, Jesus. Next time I have a need, and I can't do it on my own. And inevitably, it's a trap of the devil to bring you back down. But your word, the Bible says that God wants you to go from glory to glory to glory, which means it's not a matter of you going to the top of that mountain only to come back to the valley and then going back to the same top of the mountain. How about if God took you from the top of that mountain and then that top became in the next valley, because there's a higher top and then there's a higher top, and that, well, you say, I'm at the top, it can't get any better. It can get better. It can be better. Oh, no, you don't understand, Pastor. I'm so blessed financially. My bills are paid. I don't think about money. No, it can be better. You can be so blessed that we can take all that extra and put it into the work of the kingdom of God and help the hurting, feed the hungry, reach the lost, preach the gospel. It can get better. It can get better. See, even your money, your gold's not just for you to store in your closet. Your gold is to be used not only to meet your needs, but to reach people. How would your faith and prayers change if you quit praying, God, just give me enough to pay the bills for this month, and you begin to say, God, give me enough money so I can pay the bills, meet my needs, buy some extra stuff for me and the family, and have so much left over, I have to put it in store and even write a big check to the church. Come on, somebody. Write a big check to the church so that we can reach more people and for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God. Well, no, I just need X amount of dollars. Well, why don't you pray for twice that amount? Give half of it. Give half of it away. Well, I wouldn't do that. Well, see, now we know where you're at. Believe for more than enough so that you can just let it overflow and touch. What would happen if you not only wrote a big check to the church? What if you went to the next restaurant and that waitress is hurting and said, let me give you a big tip? You're going to have her ear. She'd been listening to you talk about Jesus the whole time, hopefully. And all of a sudden now you're reaching out with love and mercy. She's going to want to know. Those people know what they're talking about. Oh, we're moving right along. Praying always. In every season, or another definition, the original means in every opportunity. You need to have a scheduled prayer time. Praise God for that, but never shut down the opportunity of God to tap you on the shoulder and say, why don't you pray? It might be while you're driving the car. You say, what is it like? It could be different for each person, but all of a sudden you just have this thought, you know what, I need to pray right now. Let me help you out. You might be thinking, I got an extra 10 minutes. What should I do? And this idea comes to you. Why don't you pray? Let me help you out. It's not the devil. It's not going to be your natural desires. It must be from God. You'd be driving down the road, and the Lord would say, why don't you turn the music off and start praying? You might be getting cleaned up, and you got 10 minutes. The Lord said, why don't you start praying? You say, why am I praying? God, I don't have any needs. This is not praying for you. Notice that verse, praying for other saints. For even in the sample prayer Jesus gave, do you remember that? They asked Jesus how to pray. He says, why don't you pray like this? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, help me, church. Will be done, earth, heaven. Give us this thing. Do you notice it had a lot of us's in it and not so many me's? We're in this together. Say, I'm in this together. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us. You just can't pray for yourself all the time. You got to pray for other people. James says that effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Another translation says a heartfelt, consistent prayer. You need to pray not just what you're thinking, but let it come out of your heart with some intensity. You need just not an emotion, but out of the depths of who you are. Be open to pray when God gives you this. Why don't you pray? Spend the next 5 minutes. Spend the next 20 minutes. Spend the next hour. Whatever it might be. Oh, 10 minutes is not long enough. You'd be surprised what God can do with that extra 10 minutes. You're flipping there on the couch by yourself trying to find something on TV, and you say out loud, man, there is nothing on TV tonight. What am I going to do? And the Lord says, why don't you pray? Let me look one more time, Jesus. Hang on. I know I've seen that movie 12 times, but I think I can do it one more time. Be open. Say, be open.
Be open.
See, when we're open, available for God to use us to pray. Because you never know what God's doing. For you or for somebody else. And when you do for somebody else, what you sow, you're going to reap. That means when you're in need, someone will be praying for you. How cool idea is that? When we learn to pray. Would you bow your head? Let me close in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father God. And we make a decision today. We ask you, Father, to use us to pray. We make ourselves available to you to tap us on the shoulder in any season or any opportunity to pull us away to pray. Give us the strength, desire, and ability to follow through. For we need you to even help us to pray. And we thank you that when we pray in your name in alignment with your word, that the heartfelt, persistent prayers of a righteous person produces much results. And we give you praise. And everyone said, give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you would.